we finished up a six-week series in the book of James. You can see those on YouTube. Last week, we did live stream, or at least we attempted to, and I don't know. There was just weird stuff happening last week with the computer, with the live stream. So we had video. We didn't have audio, and it took us till Sunday evening before all of a sudden everything just started working again. So, I think sometimes things like that happen. So last week was part one, and I'll cover the points on that. Today we're going to do part two. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, is where we're going to begin. So chapter 1 of Luke, not of Luke. Luke writes Acts, so I get that mixed up. But Acts chapter 1, written by Luke. He kind of does a recap of his gospel, the Gospel of Luke, okay? Talks about the final days of Jesus' ministry. They're to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. It's fulfillment of the prophet Joel. God pours out his Holy Spirit upon those early believers. Peter preaches a message, Acts chapter 2, to the crowd. Some were favorable towards his message, others were not, right? Said, hey, they're drunk, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches to them, 3,000 are saved that day. I just find that very incredible that he was able to speak to a crowd that size, no PA system, right? I don't think he had a megaphone. Just think about speaking to a crowd of that large. 3,000 were saved. How many were there that didn't believe, right? So a very large crowd. He probably didn't have any voice left when he was done. Right? But God did a truly incredible thing. 3,000 saved and are baptized in water that day and filled with the Holy Spirit. So a pretty cool thing, right? And then we see this in verses 42 through 47, we get a snapshot. What did the early church look like? What were the practices that they incorporated in the church that allowed them to grow and to be health, that promoted health within the body of Christ? And so that's what I want us to key in on and look at this morning. Amen. So let's bow our heads in prayer, and then we're going to jump in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the living word of God that is able to shape and transform us. And it is a guide. It's a blueprint for us as we look at the church. And Lord God, just as we look at the book of Acts, what are the things that we can pull from there that apply to the church still today? And so, Lord God, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We ask it in your name. Amen. Thank you, Clarence. You are right on it. All right. Acts 2, 42 through 47, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Got the train. Okay. And to the fellowship. So, to fellowship. To the breaking of bread. So, that would be communion, the Lord's Supper, to prayer. And they were all filled with awe. Right? That's where we get our word awesome, right? Why were they filled with awe? They were filled with awe at the many wonders and signs, miracles, okay, that were happening, performed by the apostles through the Holy Spirit. And all the believers, verse 44, were together and had everything in common. What does it mean they had everything in common? Did they wear the same uniforms, the same clothing? I don't think that's what it meant. It means, verse 45, that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So if somebody had a need in the church, they provided for that. So we had the video on Convoy of Hope of Hal Donaldson. He is kind of the founding guy of Convoy of Hope. He was within the Assemblies of God. Convoy of Hope started with the Assemblies, and now they are closely linked to the Assemblies, but they are their own entity. That has allowed them to also get donations and gifts from other groups as well. All right? His family was in a very difficult time when he was a young kid, and it was the church that surrounded him and provided for his family. And that is the aha moment for him that he's invested in Convoy of Hope to be there for people. Verse 46, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. So there again, that is probably talking about having meals together, but also the Lord's Supper. Often it was done at the same time. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. So last week we covered three of these six. So there's six principles. We covered three last week. And Miguel has those up on there. So community or fellowship, the idea of that we're in this thing together. That Greek word is koinonia. And sometimes you hear people refer to that, but it means that there's that camaraderie, okay? It is more than just having a good time and hanging out together. It includes that, but it is that we are committed to something bigger than us. So we have our vision. It means that we're surrounded on a vision. We're working together to fulfill. We come from different walks and of what life and we backgrounds, but we're working together for a common goal and purpose, all right? That is the idea of community. Number two is the study of God's word. You can go back to that one. There you go. Yes. Study of God's word. The apostles' teaching. They didn't have a copy of God's word like this or even on here, right? Right? But what they did have was scrolls, and they probably had a lot of it committed to memory. Scrolls were very hard to come by. Okay, often they were kept in the temple. To own a scroll was like a huge savings, all right? But they took the word of God. They took them to the people through the Old Testament and said, hey, this is how Christ fulfilled what was spoken in the Old Testament. And then they taught them the teachings of Jesus that they had learned over their 3.5 years of ministry with Jesus. And then they also, what? They prayed, right? They prayed. Just a powerful thing. And as they did, God did some great things. So I want us to look at, those are the first three. Let's look at the fourth one. The fourth one is Spirit-empowered ministry. Out of their times of prayer, people were healed and many miracles took place. So we see the great miracle happens in Acts chapter 3, right? Where this crippled from birth, okay? So he has never walked. His legs don't even know what it means to walk. There is no muscle tone there at all, right? Right? So if you've had an operation on your leg, right, or injured it, you lose muscle tone and strength, right? It takes you a while. Not only does it take a while for that whatever part that's been injured to heal, but then you lose muscle mass, right? And think this guy is healed and immediately he's able to leap, jump for joy. That is a credible miracle. Not only does he get the ability to walk, I don't know if there was a lot of popping. I would think there was, right? God's putting things in place. It's like, all of a sudden, he has muscle, you know? Man, wouldn't it be cool if he could go to the gym, right? And you just do like this, and all of a sudden, yeah, all right, right? Right? But all of a sudden, he has the ability to walk, leap, and jump, and he's praising God, right? Everybody knows this. They all know this guy has been there, and so it's an incredible miracle, and Jesus is getting the credit for it. So that caused a stir. But as they prayed, God allowed them to do the miracles that we see in the ministry of Jesus. Now God is doing them through the apostles. In fact, if you keep reading into the book of Acts, you'll see that God was moving so mightily that even if they had a handkerchief or a piece of garment that Peter had prayed for, they would lay it on the person and God would provide healing for that person. Isn't that cool? God just did some incredible things through them, but it came out of that time of prayer and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit flowing through them. And I think it's important to note that Jesus, when he performed his miracles, it wasn't through the power that he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God. But when he came to earth, he set aside a lot of his divine attributes. He never ceased to be God, but he set aside his divine attributes so that he could be human. He can't be human if he can walk through walls. He can't be human if he can go, boom, you know, it's just like, things appear, right? That's not human. He subjected himself to human limitations. That means that when he healed people and prayed for people and they were healed, he did it not through his own power as God, but he did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see that the Spirit of God was present for him to heal at times. I think that offers us hope, and I think it gives us a good illustration that if Jesus was able to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit, so can you and I, right? Chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. How many of you have been guilty of praying small prayers? Right? oh man, this is just a big request, right? And we're reluctant to come to God because it just seems so far out there, right? Whether it's financial, whether it's healing, whether it's restoration of a relationship, it just seems beyond what we can do, right? So we think it's beyond God. But it says immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine. That's the power that is available. And Ephesians is a great book because it talks about that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now is flowing through us. And I just remember in the church we pastored up in Harvey, North Dakota, they have the strip mines up there by Beulah, North Dakota. Okay, North Dakota, there, does that help you out there? Do I sound a little, get back my northern accent a little bit? But they have these strip mines, and so they have these huge cranes. They're electric cranes, and they scoop the earth. These buckets of the cranes can have several vehicles in them. You could put several Suburbans probably in them, all right? And they scoop up the coal. They load it into these huge trucks, and then it's hauled around the nation, right? But those cranes, as big and powerful as they are useless unless they are plugged in to the power, right? They're useless. And the same thing for us. We can be a mighty moving force because God says we can be through His power. But if we're not plugged into His Holy Spirit, we're a big crane that is sitting out there that can't move. You following me? But when we're plugged into the Holy Spirit of God, God can do great things. I was up here last night working with our Hispanic congregation. We got the in-ear monitors working. So you notice there's no clutter here anymore, right? Okay, those speakers are gone. And so we were getting them set up on those last night. But they had me pray before they did their worship practice. They prayed. And I just sensed the beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit here as I prayed with them. I did my best job of praying in English, okay? God was present here. Amen. I think of Philip. Philip. Who was Philip in the Bible? He's mentioned in the book of Acts, but who was Philip? Was he one of the apostles, the disciples? He wasn't that, was he? Who was he? Philip was one called to wait on tables. So in Acts chapter 7, there's the first conflict in the church. So if you think that conflict isn't in the church, you're wrong. It was happening. We see it, Acts 7. Somebody was being overlooked, the Grecian widows. So the ones that had more of a Hellenistic Greek background instead of a Jewish background were being overlooked. And so there was tension in the church. And so they address the need by selecting seven men that have a Greek background, Hellenistic, Grecian background. And they made sure that these seven men were so that the widows were getting taken care of. A lot of wisdom there. They prayed about it. They selected these seven men. Now, to be serving these widows, they had to be people that were known to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. I always like that statement. What does it mean to be a person known to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I think it means more than that they spoke in tongues. I think it means that there was evidence that the Holy Spirit was in their life. It was evident. So they selected. Stephen was one, right? Stephen, shortly after that, he's stoned, right? Before Saul's conversion, he's stoned. Philip was one of those guys. And then persecution breaks out against the church in Jerusalem, Acts 8. I say it's like a bowling ball. Okay, you're bowling, you get a good roll down there, and you get that perfect lineup, and the pins just go like that, right? I know for some of you it doesn't happen, it goes in the gutter, but okay. But when you get that good one, right, the pins just go scattering. That's what kind of happened to the early church. Persecution breaks out and the church scatters. Philip finds himself up north in Samaria, so that's where Jesus would have some pretty incredible ministry with the woman at the well and things. A bunch of people get, but that's where Philip goes, and he goes, well, I'm here, I'm with these people that the Jewish people don't hang out with, right? But I'm here, so I'm going to start preaching. So he starts preaching, and guess what? People get saved. And then He doesn't know any different. He begins praying for people. Demons are cast out. People are healed. And so it's kind of like they get on the phone call and say, hey, Peter and John, we need you up here. There's a revival happening, and now they need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they come up there, right? And they pray with the people to receive the Holy Spirit. God was working so mightily that even a sorcerer gets saved and wants to turn from his ways. Philip, he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a disciple. But he was a person filled with the Holy Spirit, and God used him. I think God can use ordinary people when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that includes you and I. We sometimes look at ourselves and we think, I don't have the education, I don't have the training, I don't have this. You know what? I don't think Philip had been to Bible college. He had heard some of the teaching of the disciples, probably. He was involved in his church. But now God works mightily through him. So, I believe that applies to you and I. Amen? Number five, generosity. Now, we all love this one, right? You know, generosity, we love it when we're the recipient of it. But you know what? It says that it is more blessed to what? Give than receive. The work of the local church can only be happen as God are touched, as people are touched by God to give to fulfilling his vision and his mission. You know, so in the hurricane, and it was in Asheville, right, North Carolina, some of those communities there, we lost several churches, Assembly of God churches, that are either badly damaged or just totally swept away. And so, and even you're getting the stories in North Carolina that especially that a lot of the people were being taken care of by local people. They were taking matters into their own hands and ministering to the people there, helping rescue, provide. I think there's something about just us being generous. Within the church, we encourage people to tithe and to give. And we even talked about Convoy of Hope this morning, giving towards that or towards youth convention. What I will say is that the Old Testament stressed tithing, 10% of your income. You make $4,000 a month, $2,000 a month, you do the math, right? $200, $400, right? But the New Testament really stresses generosity. So we see like a person like Barnabas. What does he do? What does he do? Book of Acts. He sold his property and he gave it to the church so that they could minister to the needs. They didn't have a Social Security network. They didn't have a food net. They didn't have Blue River, Creek Cares. The church responded to the needs that were there, right? And it even involved people that had enough to help out with others. That's what it means that they shared, they had everything in common. And I'm not saying you have to go out and sell your house. I'm not saying you have to go out and sell your land. But if God tells you that and guides you in that way, then you follow him, right? I think what he is saying is to be generous with what God has entrusted to us. The minute we begin to keep what God has given us, I think is the day that God says, if I can't pass my gifts through you, I'm going to pass them through somebody else. God has not called us to be like this, closed-fisted. He's called us to be where he can pass his blessings through us. You know, that's something that God always challenges me with. You know what? And I look at, we could say maybe is inflation there? Yeah, probably is. But you look at our story and the context that is there, the people had a reason not to give there. They could have said, hey, I'm going to keep it for myself. We're in tough times. But they were generous. And as they were, God met the need, and I believe those people were blessed. Amen? The scripture is so clear that when we are generous, God blesses us in return. And sometimes it may be financial, it may be in other ways. But if we can be that conduit that God can pour his blessing, his provision through, I think he wants to do that. All right, last point. We see that they did praise and worship. They broke bread in their homes, this is verse 46, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of God's people. I don't know what their worship bands looked like back in those days, Maybe it was all a cappella, right? Or maybe there was somebody with a stringed instrument and they praised and they worshiped God. I've been in Jamaica. I've been in some of those Caribbean countries doing missions trips. Sometimes they have a good worship band. Sometimes it's in a classroom and maybe they have just a really simple keyboard. But man, the people out there provide as much instrumentation as the people up here, right? They enter in with clapping, with praise, they're dancing. We're more reserved here. Not saying that's bad or good, right? I know up in North Dakota, man, a lot of them were Scandinavians, and I'm part of that, so I can be reserved, right? There's times that I need God to work in my life in that way, amen? This is what Colossians says. Paul says to the Colossian believers, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm going to have Amy come and the musicians. You know, I've always been intrigued by this idea of worship and music. It's a huge part of our world, right? Think of the musicians out there. Man, if they're good, they're millionaires or billionaires. Who knows, right? Just think of how popular music is, and it's part of the church world as well, right? God encourages us to do praise and worship. The only thing I can think of is God likes worship. He does. He likes a beat, right? And why we are wired in such a way that when we hear the kick drum going and we hear the piano, it does something to us, right? It makes us come alive. It touches our heart and our emotions, right? And we begin to praise and worship. We rejoice. Why are we made like that? I don't know. That's a good dissertation project for somebody or whatever. I don't know, but I do know that God has created us in such a way where music plays a role. David, on his harp, would write songs, and it was part of his worship unto God. It is the way we are created, and as they worshiped in these homes, to teach, to learn, to share together, they worship together. Amen? That's how I'd like us to close out this morning. Would you stand? We don't know Christ as our Lord and our Savior. He is here. We say that simple prayer, God, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from my righteousness. Be my Lord and my Savior. He is so faithful to come in. That begins the journey. So if that's you this morning, take that step. And God, my prayer for your church and for us today is that, God, you would allow these characteristics to be evident in your church at large, but especially in our church here in Crete, Nebraska, in this area. Lord God, may there be that sense of community and fellowship. May we pray together. May we be generous to the needs. And I know sometimes we're stretched to meet the need, but God, you are faithful. And so, Lord God, I pray that your presence here. And as we worship together, come fill this place in our hearts this morning. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. Lord God, let us do our part to make these realities, these characteristics of reality in the church today, Lord. May we pursue them, especially ones that we have control over, such as being filled with the Holy Spirit and in prayer. Not neglecting being together, but come together when in our small groups and our Sunday mornings is so vital to the life of the church, Lord God, and to see your work go forward. Lord God, go with us this week. Let us be salt and let us be light. And just, Lord God, even today with Pumpkin Days, Lord God, just we pray for divine appointments, that you would bring people our way that we can connect with, people that are looking for a home church, and God, guide those conversations, we pray, by the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, go with us this day. We give you the praise and the glory. In your name we ask. Amen. Praise God. Hey, Amy is going to have to cut out here, and she has to go get set up. The vehicles have to be done out of there by 11:30. So she, Kira, I think, is going to go help, and maybe Jason, and they're going to go help set up with that. Praise God. But if you can be there, look us up. Be an extension of us today. I'm going to hang up here just for a few minutes if you want me to pray with you. I'm going to hang up. Morning, sign up for the ladies' craft night Thursday if you can do that. And amen. God bless you.